I bring to you grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was preparing to deliver the homily this morning, it occurred to me that this is kind of a dangerous text to preach, especially at this point in the semester. After all, we all know that we have a break quickly approaching, and with that, we all know what happens, don't we? The assignments pile up. They all hit at once. The papers, the tests, the readings, the sermons, and so on and so on. It's a lot. And as I was preparing for chapel this morning, I was praying for a gospel-rich text full of comfort for aching souls burnt out from the heavy toil of midterms. And let's not leave our professors out of this either. They're the ones grading the mountains of stuff that we're handing in anyway. So is this what the text from 2 Thessalonians 3 delivers to us this morning? Rest for weary, burnt out souls. Well, at first glance, no, it doesn't. What does Paul say in 2 Thessalonians 3? Well, it's pretty straightforward. He says, do the work. Do the work. Do it. Don't be lazy or idle or lax. Don't slack off. Don't take shortcuts. Earn your keep. Earn your bread. Earn your labor. Earn your bread with the labor of your hands. Get your head out of the skies and do the work. Just do it. And for just a minute, I thought that Paul was channeling Dr. Bierman here or something. Or maybe Dr. Bierman is channeling St. Paul. But seriously, the language that Paul uses here is so strong that it's almost shocking. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to keep away from the idle brother. He's disruptive. Follow our example and do the work. Do it. Now, I get the sense from reading the text this morning that Paul was the type of guy to practice what he preached. But it also seems like some of the Thessalonians hadn't followed in his example. Now, it could have been that they thought that Christ would return so soon that they didn't see the point in working a regular job. But for whatever reason, it seems like within the church there was a spirit of laziness and idleness that Paul felt the need to call out. And so he does. Do the work, Paul says. Just do it. Now, it's at this point that my disconnect with the text starts, because when I look out at my seminary community, I don't see a lot of idleness going on. Do the work, Paul says. And I sort of want to answer, do the work? We've already done it. As you all know, seminary is hard. It's hard work, and we all strive to do well. And it's easy to feel like we've already done the work. I know that sometimes I feel that way. You see, I remember the first year in Lutheran Mind, those write them until you pass them essays for Dr. Okamoto. Now, I don't know if they still make you guys do those, but they're hard. And then I remember second year, Exodus and the Torah with Dr. Adams. I remember writing a 60-page exegetical paper on 6 verses. It's painful. You guys have written those. And then there's the reading, the mountains and piles of reading. On my word, the reading. And then there's vicarage. Second years, get ready. It's a lot of work. And I'd really love to stand up here and lie to you and just tell you that in the fourth year, the workload lightens up, but I'd be lying. There's placement meetings and certification interviews and call day looming in the future, and of course, classes. The work just keeps coming, and honestly, I want to tell Paul to back off a little. Do the work? We've done it. We're here. We're doing it. We're doing the work. But this morning, I do think that Paul has something important to say to us. Now, I don't speak with the authority of somebody who stood in the pastoral office, but I do speak of what I've seen. I don't think any pastor goes out into the ministry wanting to shirk his duties. No pastor intentionally goes out there with this mindset of, I'm going to be a lazy, idle, slothful pastor who does the bare minimum required of me on a good day. And yet, it happens. So why does it happen? Well, ministry takes a toll. Maybe not at first. The newness of it, your youthful zeal, the excitement of that first call, it's enough to keep you going for a while. But then reality sinks in. The parishioners who were initially so fond of you are getting annoyed. As they say, the honeymoon phase is over. There are those who like to point out your shortcomings and do it every chance they get. You've been unfairly maligned for calling sin what it is. A few people have even threatened to leave the congregation, or maybe they've already left. And your sermons have gotten less creative, less organic, because frankly, you've run out of ideas. The long hours themselves are starting to get to you. You don't feel like you're making the difference that you intended to. And that's when the temptation starts. The temptation to stop visiting the sick or shut-in within your congregation, or at least try to shorten the visits down a little bit. The temptation to phone it in when you're preaching a sermon instead of engaging the text the way that you should. I've seen it happen. Once the burnout hits, it's easy to give in to the temptation of idleness. It's easy to stop doing the work. But I want you to think about this for a second. This is the way that most of you, God willing, will earn your living. It's your job. This is the way that you'll earn a paycheck, provide for your families, earn the bread, so to speak. It's your job. And Paul doesn't give us a pass just because we're burned out or tired or feel like checking out. What does Paul say? Do the work. Do it. Be a pastor with some work ethic. Bring your A game every day. Don't ignore the sick. Don't check out of your meetings. Don't phone in your sermons or your Bible classes. Do the work and do it well. And yet there's another kind of work that Paul speaks of in the first four verses of our text. And that's the work of the Lord. The Lord's work. It's the work of the Lord, and our Lord does his work well. Our Lord, who through the work of his word does the impossible task of making saints out of sinners every day. Our Lord, who builds for himself a holy people, his church, the one holy Christian church through the work of his Holy Spirit. Our Lord, who preserves this crazy world and all the works of creation, who keeps the universe in motion, who keeps us living and breathing, and who sustains us through trial and temptation. Our Lord is a worker. And it's the unique vocation of church work that most of us are striving for that allows me to say what I'm going to say. You get to be a part of the Lord's work. You even get to earn a paycheck doing it. That's pretty cool. The work of the Lord is a gift given to those who work in service to him. And even through periods of trial and burnout, when you're tired and don't feel like continuing, you do the Lord's work. You do the work of the Word. The delivery of nothing less than the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of Christ. And that work is powerful. Even when you don't see it, even when it seems like you don't make a difference, the Word does its work every time. And furthermore, the Lord will sustain you. The Lord is faithful, and by virtue of your baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you belong to him. The work is difficult. The work is challenging. But it's the Lord's work for his church. And you're a part of it. A big part. An important part. So, earn your keep. Earn your bread. Be an example for your people. Do your work and do it well. Your work in service to the Lord and his love will keep you as you persevere in trial through Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.